Good morning. I'm happy to be up here, and I always think the last time I talk will be the last time I'll be able to teach, but God's been good to me. Today, this lesson is about attached, possessed, and control. It's about the warfare for the souls of men. And we're in a war, and we're losing. Let me get this thing hooked up and turned on. I don't have a main text, so I'll be all over the Bible, and we're going to be looking at Satan's warfare on man. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Body, soul, and spirit. We're going to be looking at what this has to do with Satan. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I need help. I know that this is a controversial subject, Lord. No one wants to talk about it. But Lord, we need to know about the devices of the devil. We need to know how to fight it. We need to know how to war against it. And we need to know that you're with us in all this, Lord. And you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Use this vessel to bring glory and honor and praise to your holy name. For I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before man was created, Satan had already fell. Here, get this thing adjusted. Before man was created, Satan had already fell from heaven. When God began to create the world out of chaos, a chaotic state, Satan was close by and he was watching as God was creating man. And he was amazed and all the angels were in awe of what God was doing. And God had never done anything like this before. But he saw man being created, and it probably enraged him. Man was created after the image of God. Can you imagine a shock like that for the first time God made someone in his own image? And as soon as he saw that, war on mankind had begun. And it's still going on. Ezekiel chapter 28:13, it says, Thou hast been in the garden of Eden, or Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, excuse me, I'm not going to be able to do this because whenever you start talking about Satan, if you have electronic devices around, they go crazy. Get my back up. Just pray that I can see. I need more light up here for some reason. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that great? Tell me there's not a God. Thou hast been in the garden of God. Every precious stone was I covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sardis, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Satan knows everything about music and how to stimulate men. Thou art anointed cherub. He's a Christ that covereth. And I have set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Excuse me. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee. This happened before man was created. O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reasons of thy brightness. He was a reflection of God when he was over the throne. And I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuary by the multitudes of thine iniquities. By thy iniquities of thy traffic. You know, when you look at this merchandise, look at our world today. It's nothing but a war for merchandise. Everybody wants merchandise. Everybody wants things. We're falling right into the hand of Lucifer. Therefore, will I bring thee forth as fire from the midst of thee. God's going to bring a fire from the midst of Satan. He's going to burn him alive. And guess who he does it in front of? And devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished. You know, there's only going to be one people there. Guess who that's going to be? That's us. We're going to observe that. We're going to see it. When God created man, he created in his image. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now you look at that word soul, and it doesn't mean too much to you until you start looking at studying about Satan. Then it makes a lot of sense why Satan hates us so much. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 says, God gave one condition to man. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. For in the day you eat of it, you shall die. And Adam had one law, and they couldn't keep it. But God knew man's, he formed him, he knew his psychology, he knew all about him, and he prepared a redemption for man. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it talks about how Adam and Eve hid themselves from God. They were afraid of him because they had sinned and they knew what happened to them. When man sinned, every man after that is born with a sinful nature. You can't get away from it. You can't do anything about it. Man's body and soul is all that man has left without Jesus Christ. Your spirit is dead. It's gone. It doesn't exist. There's no communication with God. When that curse came on man, man's body and soul went like this, slapped together. And became one. You couldn't sin without affecting your soul. Your soul was attached to your body. And there was no way that you could cover it with blood, but it's still attached. First John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." That's what happens when you are born into this world. You automatically have a pride of life and lust of the eye, and you have all that. There's not one person in this house that didn't have that. The Lord would send the Holy Spirit to guide man during that time, but it was conditional. And if a man would sin, the Holy Spirit would depart from him. And then but a strange thing, after Goliath was killed, we start hearing about evil spirits and demons and devils. It all took place right after Goliath was killed. We read about Saul and how he sinned against God and wouldn't repent, and he received a holy evil spirit, and he tormented David for the next 40 years. The God made a covenant with Adam and Eve, and he says, "Okay, when you sin, you got to have a sin offering. So you got to sacrifice a goat or a lamb. Blood had to be shed." And somebody sent me an email, and they'll probably be happy I'm mentioning this, but when they create snake venom, they use stuff in lamb's blood as part of the antidote. And only lamb's blood will work. Now that's an interesting thing, if you think about it. Why lamb's blood? God put His redemptive plan in place even before Genesis chapter 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And whether or not you believe in the gap theory and all this other stuff, that's between you and God, and you study and you make your own decisions. But your soul has great value to God. And that's something that we never think about, how much God loved us enough to die for our souls. What makes a soul so different from everything else? A soul enables you to love, to decide, to communicate, and to serve God. Now you can choose not to do it, or you can choose to do it. God gives you the choice. It's all up to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Everything is governed on your soul. A soul is very valuable to God. So why are we talking about the soul? The soul makes you an individual. God loves every one of us. God valued us enough to come and die on the cross for our sins, shed His precious blood. In Leviticus, you talk about, you say, well, where do you get this about the soul being attached to the body? If you go back to the law, God wrote certain laws down. It says, if you touch something unclean, your soul is unclean. So if you're an unbeliever or someone who's never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul is attached to your body. Now your soul has to, when it dies, it has to spend some place in eternity. And it's either heaven or hell. The unsaved, they have no ability to resist sin. They have no ability to say no. But when Jesus Christ comes into our heart, He says He quickens our spirits and He performs an operation on us. And somebody will say, well, where in the world is an operation like that? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That means that you can come up here and pray all day, but if you don't mean it, ain't nothing going to happen. If you love the Lord and you want to repent and say, Lord Jesus Christ, save me, and you mean it, He knows that you mean it because He reads your thoughts. When He separates that soul from the spirit, you go to John, it says, you know, that we don't sin. And it says another time we do sin. If we do sin, you know, we've got an advocate with the Father. But you have to, God separates the soul from the flesh so that when you get saved, you no longer have to be yielding to the flesh. You can yield to the spirit. Because God quickened that spirit, He separated your soul. Now you have two ways of thinking. You have the soul. You got the spirit over here. And you got the flesh. What's the Bible say? It says, yield to the spirit, not to the flesh. And we're supposed to deny the flesh what it wants to do. And if you ever fasted, you learn that denying the flesh, is it gets very angry at you. It doesn't like it. It wants food. It wants this. It wants that. It's a terrible thing. It's a battle. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That operation takes place, and all of a sudden, you're not you anymore. You're a new creature in Christ. Now, if you don't feel like a new creature in Christ after you got saved, you got some problems. You might want to question. Am I really saved? Do I really know the Lord? But now we're going to get into why Satan hates us so much. Why does his minions torment us so much? If you ever got up here and preached or done anything for the Lord, I can guarantee you one thing. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a cloud over my head. And Satan is going to persecute me. He's going to make me feel like the worst, stupidest, dumbest. And you might think that too, that that's okay. I don't care. I don't do this for you. I do it for the Lord. But when you do something like this, a cloud comes over your head, and you know things are going to start going wrong. And I've been forking out money left and right for everything here lately. But God provides. Always does. Isaiah chapter 14, 12 talks about Satan's fall. In that first verse in 12, it lists three falls of Lucifer. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven? And he fell to the second heaven. He's cast out. He's in that deep up there in the cosmos above the stars. How art thou, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast or cut down to the ground? That's the second fall, when he's cast out of the second heaven down to the ground, this earth, and he wages war on the Jews and every soul that's still alive. Which did weaken the nations, and that's what he does during the millennial reign. After the millennial reign, he's released, and he weakens the nations, and they come against God, and God destroys them for the final time. Verse 13, there's five eyes. I will. And, you know, that's positive thinking, you know, and that's the way of the world today. We've got to think positive. We've got to be positive about everything. If we're not positive, it's not going to happen. We get a bad karma or whatever they call it. I don't know. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregations on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Pretty arrogant, isn't he? 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And that's coming. O glorious day. Angels are spirit beings. Angels do not have souls. That might be a shocker to some people. In Hebrews chapter 1:7, it says, of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Satan cannot be redeemed. He has no second chance, and that's what aggravates him most about man. Here he was a glorious cherub that covered the throne, and he had all these jewels and diamonds, and he shined in his brightness and everything, and he owned everything. Until iniquity was found in him and God cast him down. He went from that golden thing up there in the sky above the throne to a red dragon cast out. A hideous looking thing. No more beauty. He shined in his brightness. Now he's the God of darkness. When Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him. Devils and demons are spirit beings which have no bodies, but they wish to control a body. Now, there's a lot of argument about what a demon, devil, and all this stuff is. I got my own theories, but we're going to leave it at that. They know their limits. And devils like wet, damp, hot places. They like to go to the beach. And I can prove that in the Bible. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, if you don't have the Lord, you can be devoured pretty quickly. If you have the Lord, and you're living for the Lord, and you're praying, and you're reading your Bible, and you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're living your life properly, the devil don't stand a chance. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus Christ says, I am come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. And let me tell you something. I can't imagine my life without the Lord. I mean, I can't imagine. It scares me to think that there was no hope. The unsaved person has no spirit. Now think about this. This is just me. He has no spirit. And you got a demon that is a spirit being, and he comes in and takes control of that person. I pray a lot, and I watch things that some preachers are putting on the internet, and it's scary. And the news media won't cover this stuff, but there's a lot of demon possession going on right now. And when you see someone who's completely controlled by a demon, and I'm sure Sean over here can tell you a lot about that, they don't have no control over their bodies. They're twisted. They're mangled. They speak in a voice that's not theirs. And they say things that aren't right. I saw three interviews with three different people being done by three different men, and these women were all saying the same thing. Pharmakia. Mm-hmm. And these women were twisted. And I've seen things like this. I was in, you know, when you're in law enforcement, you see things like this. And it's scary. And there's no way of controlling them. They're stronger than a normal person. They can do things that normal people can't do. And where it takes a little skinny guy, it takes seven or eight guys to take him down. But we're not going to talk about that. Satan likes to counterfeit. He likes to act like the Holy Spirit. False prophets, fake healings, speaking in an unknown tongue, false doctrines, and new Bibles are all a part of Satan's plan. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." The Word of God is the only guide you need, along with the Holy Spirit. You don't need anything else. You get a lot of books. Most books will soften a lot of this stuff. And if you ever do decide to try to cast a demon out, you better be prayed up. You better be fasting. You better have your ducks in a row, because it's not an easy thing. In the time of the ministry of Jesus Christ, there was an upswing in the amount of demon possessions around the world. And now that we are seeing the second coming getting closer, it's epidemic. Police officers are using their guns because they're scared to death what they're seeing. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 talks about Gerardene, the man that was possessed by 2,000 demons. When Jesus gets out of the boat, this man immediately runs to him and says, "Are you here to torment me before my time?" And Jesus Christ asked him who he was. And he says, "Legions, for there are many." And the unclean spirit asked the Lord, says, "I know you're going to cast me out, but cast me out in those pigs over there, those swine." So God says, "Okay." And the demons left and went into the swine. And the first thing they did, they ran to the beach. That's a joke. I bet that's true. Do you ever notice how we dress modestly, we wear modest clothing, but when we go to the beach, our clothes come off? oh, I got a bathing suit on. You know, I've been married 40 years. I know what underclothing looks like. And that's about what we're looking at today. We're being influenced by the devil every day. I knew this preacher, and he was talking about this man that he went to see had a demon of pornography, and it was ruining his marriage, and he wanted help, and so they went over there to talk to him, and they cast out this demon. The demon went into the dog, and they had to kill the dog. Sin has consequences. When you allow something that seems minor, that seems insignificant, and it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows, and pretty soon it takes over your whole being. I've known guys that I talked to one time, and he got mad at me, wanted to fight. And he's talking about pornography and glorifying pornography. And I said, well, you'll never get around my kids. He says, what do you mean? I said, because pornography grows. It gets bigger and it gets wider and it encompasses everything. And pretty soon you're taken over by it, and then it engulfs you and there's nothing you can do. You're possessed. You have a spirit in you that cannot be quenched unless the Lord quenches it. The closer we get to the end, the more the devil's making himself known. And you're not going to find any help from the media or the president or whoever or some doctor. You've got to go to the Lord. You've got to go to Him in prayer. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to build up your strength. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. That's what that armor is about. And that's why I like to talk about the armor, because if you don't have it, when you need it, it ain't going to be there. It's like, you know, you're in a grocery store, and all of a sudden there's a robbery and a guy's pointing a gun at you, and you left your gun in the car. It ain't going to do you no good there. You've got to be ready to protect your family. Now look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. And God knew what was going to happen. He knows man better than man knows himself. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9, He says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his sons and his daughters pass through the fire, or to use divination, observers of times, or enchanters, or witch, or charmers, or consulters of familiar spirits, or wizards, or necromancers. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. That's pretty easy. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And people say, well, we're not under the law anymore. But you find it in the New Testament too. And God speaks against it. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observer of times and diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. When they came to this country the first time, they said it was full of all kinds of witchery and, you know, all kinds of stuff going on in this country. And as soon as the Christians come in, it started moving out. When Caesar went into to Rome or to England to conquer England, he writes about this stuff. But you'll never see it because you're not allowed to see it. But there's books out there that you can find this stuff in. But when he went into England, he found a bunch of people living in huts, tattooed from the tip of their fingers to the top of their heads. They had piercings all over the body, and they were heathens. And they were evil. And they were wicked. And there was giants surrounding the entire nation. And Caesar went in there with his troops. Of course, that's what the Arian Wall was for. It's several hundred miles long and so many feet high. It was built to fight the giants and to bring civilization to the English. And then Christianity moved in. And that's where we get our King James Bible. And all this stuff is happening again. It happens again and again. When God is left out of the picture, everything, you know, in England, they didn't know who their fathers were. They didn't know who their dads. There wasn't no fathers. There wasn't no families. Everybody just did what they wanted to do. I know what kind of pictures they paint, but everything is going back. Without Jesus Christ, and they're pushing God out, all this stuff is moving in. It's moving in. Now, let me say one thing. If you're a born-again Christian, your tattoos don't scare me a bit. Doesn't bother me. But if you are a Christian, leave it alone. Historian, now we'll get to this part, talking about giants. The Greek historian Herodias, and I saw this on Jing Kim's video, and I thought, oh, I'm going to look that up. So I did, and it was amazing how much information was on there about giants and how, you know, in America we're not supposed to know there's giants, but now it's starting to come out because the giants are coming back and they want to prepare people. Greek historian Herodias writes about the Tower of Babel and about Nimrod and his mother's wife, Semiramis. Herodias writes that ziggurats, these big towering step pyramids type things that people have all over the world, they're found in, you know, Persia or in Peru and Mexico and all these southern countries. Then you go over into Europe and they're everywhere. They claim they even found one on Mars, but I don't know anything about that. Herodias writes that the ziggurats were built for the purpose of breeding women with giants, with the angels. Now, when you look at Genesis chapter 6, it says, and there were giants in those days, and also after that, it's going to happen again. So, Semiramis, and you know, in these Baal worshippers, they would always have their temples up on the high mountains, and they would have orgies. And they would do awful things. But they chose the mountains because of the elevation, and they thought it was closer to heaven, and that's where the angels are. It was said that Nimrod was a giant, and when they dug up his sarcophagus a few years back, right before the war, or during the war, actually, they said he was quite tall. Could it be that Semiramis climbed up on a mountain, seduced an angel? I don't know. The first woman that had relations with an angel, in certain writings, her name was Naamah. You find her in Genesis chapter 4, verse 22. It talks about she's the sister of Tubal-Cain, but it doesn't say who she married. But the writings say that she's really pretty and that she was a beautiful woman and she's very seductive and, you know, so on and so forth. But then you get into witchcraft. Witchcraft has always been a problem with the church. Even as far back as Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. When you bewitch someone, you convince them by giving them false doctrines, false beliefs. All these things are being bombarded to a person to where he starts questioning his beliefs. Once you get a person questioning his beliefs, he's open for other messages. In the church today, we're seeing a lot of symbols. And a lot of people don't even know what these symbols represent. But they're being used all over the world. The corporations put these symbols as part of their logos because it empowers their companies with this logo. One of the most popular one is the all-seeing eye. It's on the back of your dollar bill. It's on, first time I saw it was ABC News. You know, you had this big eyeball. But that thing goes all the way back to Nimrod. Everything goes right back to Nimrod. All religions come from Nimrod, and they come to where we're at today. And now they're talking about the same gods, and the same kind of garbage is going to be pushed on mankind. You look at AI, and I got to hurry. AI, you ever look at that? AI is made up of cameras. The cameras are everywhere. They have an eye on you. No matter where you go, if you travel anywhere away from, you'll see cameras on the telephone poles and the stoplights and stuff. Cameras are everywhere. They're in the stores. When you're getting something to eat, you got a camera on you, and they're all hooked into AI. The first annual Christian Witches Convention, this is an article, is set to host in Salem, Massachusetts on April, and will feature international recognized prophet Calvin Witcher. I don't know who he is, but he's got to be a character, who agrees with the convention host that Jesus was a sorcerer and the Bible is a book of magic. You see where this is going? Elon Musk has brain interface technology. It's called Neuralink. It implants chips in people's heads. They implanted them in monkeys and gave the monkeys ability to do some crazy things. But they can put them in humans, and it's supposed to help with their paralysis, their mood swings, their incompetency. They can connect them to the AI computer. U.S. military has begun testing AI brain implants that can change the person's mood on humans. It's basically manipulating a person's mood. Instead of being scared, they can be like a mean fighting machine, you know, like Captain America. Transhumanism. These mind control chips emit electrical impulses to alter brain's chemistry. And they said that when they get this thing implanted, your IQ will be around 1,000. For all you brainiacs, that's pretty tempting. When you look at all this stuff, you look at Luke chapter 10, verse 18. It all has to do with electricity. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. There's something about Lucifer and lightning, electricity. When you look at magicians, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, it says, Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. They're in the church. You can't believe every spirit. You got to trust this book. This is the only thing you can trust. This is the only thing that has the truth. When men and women open themselves up to yoga and hypnotism and horoscopes and palm readers and tarot card readings and Ouija boards, they attract demons into their home. Once you get those demons in there, you can't hardly get them out unless you get rid of all that stuff and you repent and ask the Lord for help. Believe me, I grew up in a home like that. It wasn't fun. Couldn't wait to get out of that place. Remember that in John chapter 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And let me tell you something about your children. You take your cell phone. And I told this guy this the other day, I didn't know, but I assumed that's what was going on because when I was using my cell phone the other day, it started flickering. And it was about every 10 minutes, it would flicker. So I looked it up. They're taking pictures of you. They want to make sure that you have your cell phone. It's not someone else using your cell phone. Because if it is somebody using your cell phone, those acarhythms or whatever they call it, they'll shift it to the person who's watching because they use facial identification. And this guy that visits our church from Washington State wrote me the other day and says, I went to the airport and they took a picture of my eye for eye scanning. And I said, that's great. I got to quit. But anyway, I'll get real quick. He says, they looked in my eyes and everything on that computer come up about me. Everything. Every place I ever lived, everything I ever bought, items I ever bought, came up. And he says, how did they know that? And I said, your cell phone. They're scanning you all the time. They know every feature of your face. They know every attribute you got, every habit you have, everything you like, you dislike. They know everything about you. They know where you go on vacation. They know where you don't want to go on vacation. They know what kind of food you like to eat. But this is all leading to the mark of the beast. If you look up here, it started with high places, giants, Tower of Babel, Sodom, Baal worship, UFOs, transhuman, androids, and then it goes to the mark. This guy didn't know where he's coming or going. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when this happens, you're not going to know where you're going. I know one place you're going to go. You're going to go to hell if you don't receive Jesus Christ as soon as you can. I wouldn't leave this place without calling on the Lord Jesus Christ now. Because it's going to happen so fast. We're gone. And I've been studying this stuff for 45 years or whatever. I know my wife says, cut it off. But this is stuff we need to know and to be concerned about our kids, what they're watching and who's watching them. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for being so good to us, and thank you for this lesson. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me. Help this congregation. Help us in these trying times, in these last days, to be faithful. Bless the preacher as he preaches today, Lord. Give him power. For asking in Jesus Christ, amen.